Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates from Living Compassion. It's my pleasure to be joined tonight by Jen, who's a monk at the Zen Monastery Peace Center and also the coordinator of the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. Welcome, Jen.
Thanks, Michael. Nice to be here with you again.
Great. Great to have you. So I hear we have a little bit of news from over yonder.
It's hard, really, to know where to begin.
Please. You know, I just was on the computer and I saw that there are 3 blog entries already and I wasn't even up to date.
Isn't that so great?
That is so good.
You know, it's funny. It says, I so rarely get the gift of being here on this side of the Atlantic while a trip is happening. I'm more often there doing, you know, participating in the trip.
Yeah.
And it's really quite a pleasure, I must say, to read the blogs. And I realized I was sort of laughing with myself reading the blogs and getting really choked up reading them and realizing that there's always been a part of me that thinks, oh, people are just being nice and they're just humoring us. The blogs are so powerful. And I realized, wow, that's really true.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
So yeah, that is probably the biggest news, that people can go see it for themselves. They can read the blog. What's the easiest way? Probably to go just log on to the Living Compassion homepage, and I think it's probably on the What's New right there, isn't it?
Yeah, as you keep talking, I will check that.
Okay. I confess I see them in the draft stage before they're even all put together, so I get the preview. But I think that's the easiest way to access them. And really fun, I wasn't able to get a hold of our IT guy just before this call to find out exactly what link to go to, but we'll put it up somewhere prominently, that the team in Cantalomba created a Good News Update for the show. And it's fabulous. I think you've heard it, Michael.
Yes, yeah, I have.
Yeah. Teresa, she has a future as something. I don't know, an interviewer or a, you know, media person or something. But, I mean, we saw that part of her come out during the trip in the United States when she was here. But this, I think it's like a 15-minute thing, recording that they did. Alex is on the trip, and Alex is very gifted with technological kinds of things. And so he's been a huge asset over there getting all kinds of fabulous things for us. And he did this recording, this 15-minute recording with them, where Teresa is interviewing the various folks in the co-op about, okay, well, tell us the good news of what's going on in the project.
Yeah.
And some of them speak in English, and some of them speak in Bemba, and she translates. And so we're going to post that whole audio up on the web for people to go to. We had a vision that that would be what we would air tonight, but it was too, there's a lot happening in the background. There are kids doing, you know, just running around and racing and doing their kid thing, and so it makes a lot of background noise. And it's already hard to, you know, hear what they're saying and that kind of thing. So we felt like it wouldn't, given the added thing of putting it then over the computer on the radio waves, it just wasn't going to work out. So,
yes.
But we will put it up on the website for people to hear.
Yeah, I like the sound of 400 kids eating lunch, perhaps,
in
the background.
Yeah. It's fun. The video and the audio add a dimension to it that's different than just reading about it, I think.
Yes. Yeah. Fun to feel kind of right in the middle of it.
Yeah. And so that's another thing, is that that Alex is doing a lot of short little videos that just give you a sense of what it's like to be there. One of them he did the other day was the team decided they wanted to do a concert for Dave and Alex. And so they spent an afternoon singing, and Alex brought some very good recording equipment with him. And so he did, I think, both some video and a lot of audio recording of the concert. So hopefully at some point that's something we'll be able to make available to people as well.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
So I better run through. I realize we're going to run out of time quickly here, so I can tell you all the news, huh? So one of the fun things is that they got to visit all the houses that have the brand new roofs on them. So there were 5 more roofs that were put up just in time to be safe and sound for the rainy season. The rainy season starts there in late October, so they're now well into the rainy season.
Yes.
That makes a huge difference in the lives of folks who before that would have to stand up all night long for fear that eventually, you know, the roof leaks so badly onto the mud brick that the walls will come down, and it's really, really dangerous. It's life-threatening. And so when it's raining, they literally stand all night long. So that's a huge difference that's being made in the folks who have new roofs.
Yes.
They're also hotly pursuing an internet connection in Cantalumba. We've realized more and more what a huge leap forward that would be for the project in so many ways. And so Dave especially has a fair amount of knowledge that he's built up over the years in that area. And so he's just pursuing it from every angle. And we haven't gotten the big breakthrough that we're hoping for, but we're certain that pursuing it in this way, we're gonna get it at some point. We're actually in conversation, in some exciting conversations with folks here in the United States who have some projects where they're doing this kind of thing, bringing internet into remote areas. And there's especially one promising possibility that there are a group of students who may actually want to assist us with taking that on as our project. So that's very exciting.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's really fun. Yep, some graduate students in Michigan.
Great.
Yeah. So they're also looking into buying a hammer mill. Actually, they're getting set to do it. We'll probably actually purchase it when Sherry and I are traveling to Zambia in January. And so Dave and Alex are doing the legwork for buying the hammer mill, which is a machine that grinds up the maize into they call it nshima. They make nshima out of corn. It's like a porridge kind of thing that they eat. And a hammer mill is the thing that grinds it. And so the cooperative has wanted for a long time now to have a hammer mill because they think it'll be a really good source of income. We have someone in the Sangha who has stepped forward to make the microloan for that. So she's going to put the money forward for it, and the cooperative will pay her back over time, and it should be a very steady source of income for the cooperative. So we're really excited about that.
Great.
Yeah. And then the big, big, huge news is that it looks like we're poised to double the number of children we're feeding every day.
Wow.
Yeah, it's astounding. So the team there is really solid. Teresa and her folks are just so skilled at what they're doing. They have such a routine down. They're able to bring new folks on quickly, train them in how to do the feeding and all the things that go with that. And so we had started to talk with Teresa just a little bit when she was here in the United States with us about, you know, bringing on more children. And she said, you know, I really think we can bring on quite a few more without much trouble. And we started talking about it. And then I can't even remember where it first came. Probably Sherry, being the visionary, was the person who said, you know what, you know, let's double. Could we do that? And so Dave and Alex brought that question to the cooperative when they were there, and everyone said, it was very inspiring, I think it's in the blog, yes, let's do it. And they said things like, that's why we're here. You know, that's why we're doing this, because we want to feed the children. We're ready. They were saying things like, we want to earn our pay. I think, and what I kind of project onto that was, you know, we're receiving so much that we want to do what we came here to do, which is to feed children. So with the addition of not, you know, I think maybe they're going to buy 400 plates and cups and a few more very large pots and one more, I know, isn't it amazing? One more brazier, which is this sort of outdoor charcoal cooking thing, and off they go. They're going to start finding 400 more children to feed every day.
Well, that won't be hard.
No, exactly. Dave was saying to Teresa, so now how are you going to go about this? And she said, oh, I leave that to my team. She said, they know so well who are the next children. Who are the ones who, okay, we've got the very most vulnerable. Who are the next level? Who are the ones who, you know, the families are struggling. They're not going to be able to feed their families. You know, who are those children? And they all live in the community, so they all know. So it's really quite easy for them to pick out the ones who are, I mean, not easy in the sense, of course, it breaks all of their heart that, you know, it's 400 and not the other 2,000. But, you know, the way things are moving, I think it's going to be long.
Yeah. Yeah. I was just thinking the other day, some part of me has seen kind of incremental progress in the number of children being fed.
Yep.
And to double it?
Yeah, it's exponential. And that's, I think, I really think there's something that happened. I mean, certainly there's a lot that happened from Teresa coming to see us in the United States on, you know, practical, physical, you know, things you can actually point at. But I think there's something that happened on sort of a, you know, energetic level as well, if you will, that just suddenly poised the project to reach a point where it's just, well, it's growing exponentially. And I really think, and it's in that literal area, you know, we're feeding twice the number of children, but it's also in things like, you know, the potential of working with these graduate students in Michigan to bring the internet in and all the other connections that are suddenly opening up for us, and the people that, say, Sherry's meeting when she's out talking with folks about this kind of work and the connections that she's making. It's amazing, really. It's just there's a real momentum behind it that's very exciting.
Feels very tangible to me.
Yeah, it really does. Yep.
And I cannot wait to read the blog.
Yeah. And we'll make sure, as I say, to prominently post those links to the Good News update that they did, and all the video that Alex is taking, and, you know, hopefully eventually the concert that they did, and, you know, all that stuff that allows, you know, those of us who are back here to really experience it.
Very fun.
Yeah.
Jen, I could talk to you and talk to you and talk to you for much longer.
Well, hopefully we'll hear it direct from the source when Alex and Dave get home. They can fill us in more.
Sounds great. Thanks for joining us, Jen.
Thank you, Michael. Have a great show.
We will. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Michael. How fun is that, huh?
That is very fun.
It really, I mean, you guys said it, but or Jen said it, and you agreed. The speed with which things are happening there is just breathtaking. I think it's exciting for us, heartening, you know, inspiring for us. I project that for them, it's just mind-boggling. You know, I mean, Americans are known for going kind of fast anyway. But things in a place like rural, and it's not really rural, but it is in a sense that it's so without what we think of as a city having. You know, it's so kind of, well, primitive sounds terrible, but that is what's going on, you know. And so, a year could go by and nothing very much would happen from year to year. You know, babies would be born, people would die. But in terms of houses being built or, you know, the kinds of changes that are coming there now, you know, 400 more children being fed or adult education classes or, new roofs or loans to start businesses. I mean, no. And it's happening within weeks, within months. So it's just such a thrill. And I have to say, watching all this, having Dave and Alex over there, it produces in me an experience that I don't ever have. So it's really unusual for me, but I feel homesick.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah, I'll hear the sound of birds, you know, from there, and there's just this longing to be there, and especially, you know, when we get this kind of news, and I know how excited the people are, and just how much fun it is. It's just so much fun. It, you know, Michael, it's actually the experience that we have here. You know, when we all get together as Sangha, so a lot of us are going to go to Santa Sabina over New Year's, it's that same feeling. It just feels like a party. You know, when people get together to have fun doing good stuff. So I feel kind of homesick for Santa Sabina, too. So I'm glad I was able to connect those things for myself.
Yes. And you won't be homesick very long for Santa Sabina.
No, it's going to happen pretty darn soon. I'm happy about that.
Jerry, I wish I could tell you the number of blinking red lights I see in front of me, but it's hard to count them all.
Okay, I'm going to then say, well, let's hear from them.
Okay, first caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Good evening, Sherry. This is Claire from Palo Alto.
Claire, how are you?
I'm getting a little nervous in this moment, and I'm doing very well, thank you.
Oh, good. Well, nervous isn't bad, is it? It's just kind of really alive.
Exactly, lots of fluttering in the chest.
Yeah.
I'm calling to talk about a parenting issue. So I notice that as a mother, I'm interacting with my children in a way that I don't like or I'm judging myself for.
Perhaps you're being judged for.
Indeed, but well, I'd like to share what it is that I'm doing, because I think it's important. Well, probably want to really share what it is I'm doing. So when I speak to myself harshly about this, I would say that I'm parenting by bribing. So, you know, if you don't clean your teeth and you don't get a bedtime story, you know, the big bribe is the dessert. If you don't do this and you don't get dessert. And I notice how I feel really bad about doing this style of parenting, and then I justify it by seeing that it works.
It's hard to argue with success, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah. Well, and you know, it's, and I do want to go back to that point, though, because when you say, you know, I can't remember exactly what words you used, but indicated that you're judging yourself for this. And I just want to underline that I bet conditioned mind is judging you for it. Because you are a parent and you know how hard parenting is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only really somebody who isn't a parent, and that would be, in this case, conditioned mind for you, okay? I mean, it's always conditioned mind. It's always egocentric karmic conditioning. It's always self-hate that's standing outside of our lives and judging us for whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that you're doing it to you. And that's just such an important point, because that has, if that were true, it would have you believing what the voices are saying to you and then punishing yourself. So the whole thing, you know, the responsibility for all of it falls on you. And the truth of the matter, as I see it, is you, in this case, the subject is parenting. I mean, they don't beat me up over parenting, right? They would try, because it just wouldn't be successful. But they will try to beat us up over whatever is important to us.
Right.
So I just want to really clarify that you are you're the parent, you're the mom, and you are trying to do the best that you can 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and then this external system holds standards up to you and constantly points out how you're not meeting the standard.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
As you share this, it just occurred to me that as I've been going through my parenting day with conditioned mind telling me how I'm doing it wrong, what a different experience it would be if I had my favorite mentor with me telling me what a great job I'm doing, and okay, yes, this is tricky, but you know, we can work through this. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And this is the for me, the really significant point of that is that it really is true that your children are learning how to be adults through watching their parents.
Mm-hmm.
So what you really want to model for your parent, for your children, and your parents, actually, assuming they're still alive, is no self-hatred, no beatings.
Right.
Loving kindness and support. So for them to grow up knowing that adults have a kind, loving wisdom that they refer to, and that's what's guiding them through life. So that as the children grow up, they are seeking that wise, kind, loving presence in their life, because they know that that's what happens when you grow up, rather than when you grow up, you're going to have a voice inside your head that's beating you up all the time, and no matter what kind of a good job you're doing, you're going to be told that you're doing a bad job and made to feel terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You with me on that one?
Yes, I'm with you on that one.
Yeah, yeah. So when
how important it is to model for myself, to be a kind, loving presence for myself, and to model that to my children.
Exactly, exactly. Because they don't need a perfect parent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we think we have to be perfect parents, which is what makes us so vulnerable to all of that self-hatred.
Right.
Yeah, but the thing, now, let me ask you a really difficult question here. Do you love your children?
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, you would die for your children.
I would, yes.
Yes, yeah. So there, let's put that you're a bad parent to rest. Okay. Then when it's in the when you're being following, you know, you're in relationship with the mentor, then in that conversation you can talk about, well, gee, are there any alternatives to sugar in terms of, you know, dealing with little people? And that's a conversation that could be helpful and productive.
Right, and a conversation that I could have with my children, too, to try and find solutions around getting things done.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, all of us know as adults that there are consequences for everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So having children learn that there are consequences seems like a really good thing.
Right.
And having children learn that, you know, when you contribute, when you work hard and you participate and, you know, all of that, life provides rewards for you. It's really true. You know, you do your schoolwork and you work hard in school, you get good grades, you know, life opens up for you. Those are really important lessons. But it seems to me the only one that's shaky is sugar.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes. And when I'm talking about consequences, it's a huge difference in me if I'm talking about consequences from a centered place with my mentor by my side, or if I'm talking about consequences when I'm in a conditioned place.
Exactly. Exactly so. Yeah. And, you know, when I observe it, conditioned parenting is a scary thing, because it really, what happens to the kids is they're just the recipient of whatever personality is there at the time. Do you know?
I can see that.
Yeah. But from center, there is a certain spontaneous consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So they would get it that, yeah, sometimes we get ice cream. We don't always get ice cream. Sometimes we do.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah. And the only thing about the sugar that concerns me, and I'm sure it's what concerns you, is when we look around and see the kind of trauma that people experience over sugar in particular, food in general, but sugar especially as a reward, that it can just set up so many, you know, weight issues and health issues and
mm-hmm.
all of those kinds of things. So that, you know, to me, that's one, you and your mentor work that out, and then you start doing a series of articles for parents. You're going to become, you know, the two of you will be headed for being canonized really soon. Yeah, because, I mean, it's such a huge issue for every parent.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is. And
yeah,
a place that I get to look at more.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just thinking, you know, that place of dreading when your kids find out about sugar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, life is one way before they know about it, and it just becomes dramatically different as soon as they find out about it.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and how scary it is me seeing how the desire for sugar can affect behavior and.
Oh, yeah. It's a powerful drug.
Yeah, and seeing that in, you know, externally, my children's and also seeing that in myself too.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. If we wonder what kind of a drug it is, we just have to look at our own addiction to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it really should be right up there with alcohol. You know, I think the whole thing about marijuana should be that it gives you the munchies. That should be what people are objecting to. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much, Sherry. This has been very helpful.
Good. You and that mentor now have a good long talk, huh?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Right.
I really appreciate your show. Bye.
All right. Thanks. Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Claire. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Okay. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. This is Kieran.
Hi, Kieran.
Hi. I wanted to just talk to you about some of the stuff that's happening here with me right now and get your kind of opinion about some of it.
All right.
So I'm taking the email class right now.
Uh-huh.
It's just really great to be able to notice that I can just, you know, be available to the piece that's happening right now.
Uh-huh.
Some of the things that are happening.
May I?
Yes.
Because I just want to clarify something about that. You can be in peace about whatever is happening right now.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's just a subtlety that I could see people hearing what you said and thinking that what we're talking about is, there's some huge catastrophe in your life, and you're just kind of, you've got your hands in the cosmic mudra, and you're just oming along, oblivious to what's going on in life. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about being in a state of peace, acceptance about whatever, present to whatever is happening in our lives.
Yeah, I'm very glad you made that very clear distinction. Because I don't even think it's people out there. I think there's personalities inside myself that like to make the
Ooh.
Distinctions, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Parts
yeah.
of
so,
me.
So that if something just really sad or upsetting or terrible happens, those voices would say, well, but you shouldn't be upset about that. Well, what we're really talking about is, can you be in a state of acceptance about your upset?
Yeah, and that's really, I'm so glad that we're, because this is, I think, really what is happening, because there is a lot of sort of upset and external situations that are uncomfortable and not going very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this sort of process of trying to be really authentic through it or coming from center and just sort of, there's a place here where I can just where there's a very present space available where there's no story about events that are happening and it's just
what's happening.
Yeah, what's happening.
Yeah.
Something that goes with it though are these really strong body sensations. And there's a little bit of, I have a bit of a torqued rib cage. And there's, there'll be a lot of, I'll just need to be really present. I'll notice that there's a ton of voices and there's a lot of upset feelings. And there's a respond to sit and just return to, be centered. Being aware of the sounds in the room, being aware of my dog and being aware of my body and my breath. And then being aware of very dense, pain in my back.
Oh.
And there's a place where I can just notice it as just pure energy. It's just energy.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's sort of another layer to it that I can listen and it's like anger. And there's another layer that I can listen where anger is telling this really, really awful story about the situations I'm in right now. And having this position that it's like, stay with it where it's just energy. Sort of be...
May I?
Yes.
Okay, because to me, you wouldn't want to miss any of those. Because they all have, each of those has something for you. Right?
Yeah, okay.
Each of those levels. So what we're taught, especially as spiritual types, is if you can experience that as pure energy, you should. But there's a way in which that's just denial. And we don't want to do that. So can you be aware of all of that, accepting that all of that is going on? You know, there are all those different layers. All of that's happening, and you are in a place of well-being that all of that is so.
It's so that's maybe a little bit challenging. I feel like actually
for most of us it is extremely challenging. Because
the story part.
Yeah, exactly. Because we get hooked into it, because people believe it, because we're afraid that we'll get hooked into it and believe it, and then what will happen as a result. You know, so there's a lot, it just brings up a lot of stuff. And yet, if we are not willing to go into all of that stuff, we're never really going to be free of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll say this and then tell me if there's distortion there.
Yeah.
I'll clarify it. Because there's a sense inside of me that it's very painful to keep listening over and over to the story that anger wants to say. And there's a sense inside of me of like, don't take a position, like just stop. Then there's this tremendous impulse to want to like, do something or anything, you know, and this sense of this intuition is to not do anything except sort of hug it, you know, love it.
Just be with it. Let it do what it's doing.
Yeah, let it do. Yeah, like the stop, like just stop. Don't.
And
send that email or write that letter.
The only thing I want to say with that, the place that I would ask you to look is if it's stop or if it's more along the lines of, you know, you don't need to do that. Because the one can, now maybe not, it could, you know, it could be coming from the most loving, compassionate place in the world. But stop has a kind of, it's somebody's giving you an order. Somebody's giving somebody an order. You know, stop it. As compared to, you know, the whole range of responses is available to you. Now, that's the karmic one. You know, that's the habit. That's the one that's going to probably lead us to the places where we've already been. You don't need to do that. So, you know... might want to just stop and breathe there. You know, kind of like a...
It's really,
you know,
tricky in that spot. That's what's happening right now. It's really tricky right there because, as you know, I mean, the karmic pattern disguises itself and subtle itself.
Yes.
And the capacity to take a step different than karma is so small. The musculature is so small. And what it's looking like right now is just I feel like I need to give like a real specific example of the situation so I can show you what's how I decide to move.
Well, rather than that, here's what I would suggest. That the focus for you is just breathing and being with, which would speak to that not taking a particular action. So the image that I get is of a fire. So there's the fire burning away. It's not your house. Okay, your house is not burning down. It's in the yard. It's a bonfire. And the impulse is to contain it, to control it, always with an eye toward putting it out. Is it possible to just watch it, to just be with it, knowing that if it starts getting dangerous, there'll be the opportunity to kind of rein it in? But the best chance of being through with it is to let it burn itself out. So if we take that into karma.
So that's my anger is the fire, not necessarily the situation.
Exactly. And by just staying with it, allowing it to be there, you're breathing, it's there, you're not taking it out into other people or situations, because that just, as you've noticed, leads to more karma. You just stay with those sensations. It's okay that they're there, and they eventually will burn themselves out.
Yeah, because what's happening is, like, I guess if I say it out loud, it makes sense. There was a lot of emotional turmoil this month. I work as an independent contractor, and I was really having such a hard time just getting any work done. You know, just sitting at the desk and just completely just want to sit and love this immense pain of this really kind of really yucky life situation occurring. And, I mean, I guess that's fine.
Yes, and so let me add one other thing. Be physical. Don't sit and love it. Because very often what that's doing is actually feeding it. Okay? So take that energy and use it for you. So go for long walks. If you know, whatever, dance, whatever it is that you like to do to move your body and keep the energy flowing.
Okay, that's been hard. I've tried a few times when it's really big, and it seems like life situation keeps compiling. Like, it's like,
okay, here's the deal. You're in the email class, so you know this response from me. Of course it's hard. Of course it's hard. I don't know why we're always surprised when this kind of thing in life is hard.
Right. It's not hard to sit, though. Like, but it is. It's like I force myself to go to the gym. It's really, really hard.
Okay.
And I make it for about a half an hour, and I feel like a champ.
Then you are confirming what I'm saying. The sitting there is feeding it.
Okay.
Don't do it.
Oh, yeah, because I do notice, for instance, if there's something I have to do, like, that's a have to, I do show up and do it, and then for 2 hours I forget what a mess my life is.
There you go.
And I leave it and be like, oh, wow.
That's right. So
it went away.
The sitting with it is focusing on it, a la the email class. It's giving it all of your attention, and it's sucking the life force out of you.
Yeah.
Don't do it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, now I'm going to have to dash because Michael has already told us that we have a ton of little red lights flashing.
Okay.
So
thanks.
Apply all that good stuff you're learning in the class. Don't give your attention to it. Allow it to be there. Let it burn away. Let it go on. Don't give your attention to it. Keep your attention for yourself.
Okay, I'll listen to this a few times, but I'm not sure that that's all integrated. But it'll be on archive, so I can listen to it again.
Exactly.
Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Karen. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we're going to have a sponsor break, and then we'll be back.
All right.
Watchdog Software is proud to support Open Air with Sherry Huber. For more years than we care to mention, Porchdog has been writing Windows and Mac software for customers big and small. We're pretty good at what we do, and we always try to remember that what we're doing is never more important than how we're doing it. Check us out at www.porchdogsoft.com. We look forward to hearing from you soon.
By Trish Bruxford Colligan gives voice to what Simply Celebrate is all about. Opening to rivers of joy, listening to our hearts, trusting ourselves and our lives. Simply Celebrate is a book and business that grew out of gratitude for the work of Sherry Huber and this amazing Sangha. We use the practice as a foundation for helping people wake up to all the joy, spontaneity, color, and connection that is available in every moment. Please visit simplycelebrate.net.
What if you bathed in an ocean of roses? What if you swam in a river of joy?
Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, we have another caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Lisa from Seattle.
Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
So
I'm really, really, really grateful tonight that I got through. I've been trying for weeks, and I finally did it.
All right.
So, and I loved Claire's call. I love listening to all that stuff about parenting, and it was just awesome. I can relate to all of it.
there's really only kind of one set of parents and one set of kids, don't you think? I think so. Yeah, it's just, everybody's going through the same thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
The kids are and the parents are.
Yes,
yeah.
That's my experience. And that's a little bit related to why I was calling tonight. There are some things that I've really been noticing lately, and I'm just excited that I'm noticing them. And the first one is that it seems to me that... whenever I have a really open time, like, you know, I've been really feeling like I'm coming from center and I'm able to, you know, really really be with, you know, whatever's going on.
You're expansive.
Right. Well, then what comes right after that is I get slammed with something.
Yes.
Yeah, but I
That's
had
right.
not really... I guess I knew that, and I've heard that before, but I hadn't really, really seen it for myself.
You weren't there at the moment watching process.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Right.
So this time you were right there, and you saw the process happen.
Yeah, I was really, what happened is I had a wonderful, amazing day where basically I was doing working meditation. By myself, just kind of, it just happened. And then the very next day, I got caught in this story, a pretty old one, but I didn't see it as that. I just thought, oh, it's so real.
Uh-huh.
And then, and I was in it for like a week, and it was just horrendous. Mm-hmm. And then I was out for a walk listening to the archives, like I always do every day, and heard a show that, you were talking to somebody about, like, it's kind of like the Nielsen ratings, where conditioning kind of gets this, okay, what is going to be the biggest hook that's going to give the biggest return for our sponsors, right? What's the show that they're really going to watch this time, right? Mm. And I just stopped, like, oh, my gosh, that's what this is.
I'm living in that show.
Oh, my gosh, conditioning is just... Conditioning is kind of, it's scared, their ego is scared that I had this great expansive day, and so let's get out the big guns. Let's get her with, oh, this is a good one. This is an old one. She'll fall for this one.
Right.
And it's true. I did.
And she did. Oh, my God. Yeah. Yeah. And you saw it.
I did. I did.
Yeah.
Which was really neat. And then again today, I did it again. I had this great day. And then this tussle with my daughter this afternoon, I just plunged me right back, you know, right back into it. Like the hook came out. Okay, here's an old one. Let's get her.
Yeah, and you know that image is great because there you are. You're expansive, so your energy is really big. Here comes the hook. Set the hook.
Yeah.
Suck all that energy out, and there you are, just left drained and miserable.
Yeah, and seething and upset and everything.
Plan.
And yeah, but last time it hooked me for a week, and now tonight it got me for about 5 minutes. And then I thought, wow, that was a good one. That was good. So then I went in and, you know, I went to her room and where I had sent her and talked to her. And I kind of, you know, you were talking with earlier with Claire about the, you know, the different personalities that were kind of, were conditioned parents. The kids are kind of at the whim of whichever personality is there.
Mm-hmm.
So I use that. I've been talking to my daughter about that because she talks about her voices. And so we've given them names and she's given him names and personalities. And so I went in and I said, you know, and her, it's kind of a weird name. Hers is Mangadip. So I said, you know what? My Mangadip just really got me this time. Did yours get you? And she said, yes. And so we had a hug and we talked and, So, and then
that's
really... Yeah, and then the neat thing is she often asks for the song by Trish Culligan, the How Could Anyone Ever Tell You That You're Anything Less Than Beautiful? She asks for that song to play because we often play it for her when she's kind of upset. And so I put it on. I put it on the iPod and stuck the headphones on her, and so she's upstairs right now listening to that.
Fabulous.
So it's kind of, it's just neat when these little successes. Or, you know what, it's not little, it's big.
It's huge.
Big. Yeah.
It's huge, and it's a whole family deal.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, she really is getting to have the whole experience of, you know, it's not easy for adults. It's not easy. They struggle with the same things we struggle with. Yeah, they have more experience and broader awareness and more responsibility and all that, but they're not perfect. In that sense of never getting upset or never saying anything that they regret. No, everybody does that. So
mm-hmm.
what do you do when that happens? Well, this is what you do. And you turn it into an occasion to be closer instead of more estranged. What could be better than that?
Not much. It's pretty neat as a parent when you can, you know, when you can turn a situation like that into a way to, an opportunity to hug and be close.
Oh, absolutely.
And in the past, it hasn't been that way.
No.
So.
Well, and just, for almost all the world, it's not that way.
Yeah.
You know, people just go into those situations and they just build and they build and they build and they build because there's no coming together. There's no reconciliation. There's no letting it go and saying, hey, that's just something that happens. But what you're establishing there is, it's all a process. You know, sometimes we're expansive, sometimes conditioning gets us, sometimes we're snarky and snarly, and when we are, then we say, oops, you know, that's not what I intended. I really wish that hadn't happened. I'm sorry. Oh, it's okay. I love you. Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We all get to be human. We all get to love, and we all get to be loved there.
Oh, that's great. It's just great. So thank you so much, and I'm just so grateful for everything and all the tools and Sangha and everything. So.
Oh, me too. Thank you.
Right. Thank you. Thank you, Michael.
Good night.
Good night. Thanks for joining us, Lisa. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, that was very inspiring to me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's great stuff, isn't it?
It is great stuff. And I had a t-shirt. I had a T-shirt moment as Lisa was talking.
What is it?
It says, I was rescued by the archives.
talk about a what do you call it? An in joke? Is that the
yes.
People be what? And then of course we could tell them, or you could put the URL underneath, right? They could just people could just go right there and also be saved by the archives.
Saved by the archives. Yeah, that's
the archives. It's really true because all of these things that we do as a sangha are a way to be in sangha all the time. And it's very difficult for conditioning to keep a really big hook in us when we are listening to people process and doing the practice and trying to come to center and being at center and having these breakthroughs. And
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Jerry, we're going to stop, drop, and have a break, and then we will be right
back. Okay.
If you suddenly find yourself believing the voices in your head, don't panic. Just remember these three easy steps. Stop, drop, and breathe. That sequence again is stop, drop, and breathe. This public service announcement is brought to you by VoiceBusters Incorporated, purveyors of the finest practice tools and reminders since 2008. Visit us on the World Wide Web at thevoicescartoons.org.
Stop, drop, and breathe. Stop, drop, and breathe.
Welcome back to Open Air.
Anybody who thinks that awareness practice is not a good time has really not had the voices.
Yes, Sherry, did you see the cartoon that came out this week? It's a picture of the head, and the top part of the head is off, and a couple of voices in there, and one says voices, the other one says what voices?
I don't hear any voices.
Great.
Yeah, that's good.
Jerry, we have 7 more callers in our queue.
Wow. We better hurry.
Here we go. Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Holly calling. I'm in Australia.
Good grief, girl. What time is it?
What time is it?
Is it morning?
Yeah, it's lunchtime.
Lunchtime, tomorrow. Well,
yeah, it's Wednesday.
Yeah, I love that. How are things in Australia?
It's pretty hot here.
How is Holly? I guess I should just ask, how is Holly?
Holly's okay. I don't know how long I have to speak because you got 7 more callers, but
that's okay. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, I'm good. It's just that there's been a couple of traumatic things that have happened in my life, but like they've just passed, as in like my dad's out of hospital now and I'm getting over my broken heart and but what is coming up for me in the face of what happened is that kind of the fear of future trauma, because I feel like there's just been so much my whole life. It's just kind of this kind of I realize that I carry a lot of fear around traumatic events happening because I feel like they just haven't stopped. And I realize that I don't necessarily do it so much in a mental way. It's more of a physical or cellular way. Like I notice my body often frozen, or I wake up in the night in terror and I kind of don't know what's going on. And what I'm realizing more and more very recently since I've been back from America is that I feel like a traumatized person, and And what happened with my dad this year, which was just so awful and frightening, just really kind of realized I have no control, and that was really scary.
Yeah, it is. You know, we can say it. We all know it, sort of. I mean, a lot of us know it. You know we have no control. But it's really hard to accept, really hard to actually get it.
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to say something that is not going to be new to you, but to me it's along the same lines. And that is, so what that should say to us is that we should do whatever we darn well want to do. Because not doing it is not going to keep us safe.
I don't understand.
Well, in other words, people don't take risks because they believe that not taking risks will keep them safe.
Oh, yeah.
But what you've just said, what you've realized is, no, it won't. Not taking risks, whatever that means that there will be a lot of things you won't do, but it doesn't mean you'll be safe. Your life is all the proof you'd ever need that that's the case.
Yeah, and it's really difficult to kind of, I guess I kind of think, you know, like, I guess the word conquer, like, I understand injury, and I understand death, and I mean, I don't understand it, but like, I've gone through a lot of things, and I kind of go, okay, I've done that, there's nothing else can really touch me, and then something happens that I haven't experienced, like my whole father's psychosis and suicide in tendency, and da da da, and it shocks me so much, and I just realize that I don't really, I mean, life will always, maybe always throw things I actually don't know how to deal with.
Yeah. you know, to me, our big problem as human beings is, and again, this is a little obvious, but it's the belief that life should be a certain way. I mean, people really, really, really deeply believe that. And it's really,
really
not true. You know, all the wise folks, you know, do you have a copy of Transform Your Life?
Yeah.
Okay. So, you know, every morning I get up and I read whatever the quote is and get the assignment for the day. Really, really, really wise people are telling us and have told us for as long as we have record of really, really wise people. They've been saying, you know, if you wake up in the morning, it's a miracle. If you live to the end of the day, it's a miracle. You know, fall down on your knees and say thank you about every 15 or 20 seconds, because there are just no guarantees. And yet we continue to approach life as if it's supposed to go in this way. You know, I was kidding an earlier caller. You know, people say, but it's really hard. Well, yes, it is really hard. Well, it's really scary. Yes, it is really scary. I mean, think about it. You know, we're rocketing around in space on this clod of dirt. Come on. And the amount of security we have is the amount of breath in our lungs. You know, the heartbeat that's happening right now. That's it. Why are we not enjoying ourselves? Why are we not saying, you know, I don't want to miss a single second of this. Be cautious? God, no.
Is that the key, in a way, that, like, there's this very overwhelming feeling of, okay, so if I'm not in control and think anything can happen, then everything will happen. But I guess then it feels like, well, how am I going to cope? How am I going to live? And then it's like, well, do I have to then really draw out the gratitude and the present?
Yes. Don't you think?
I guess the beauty of what's happening now, you know, because that's all I kind of really have.
That's all we have. And we miss it because we're in this conversation with voices in our heads about how this isn't working and that's wrong and I don't like that and why isn't this, and someday down the road then maybe, and we miss it.
Yeah, and I think I also use practice for that too. Like, I'll practice, again, I had this conversation with Deb a few months ago, but it's kind of going a little kind of deep, and I'm thinking of, it's that belief that practice will make everything kind of safe and okay, and, you know, I even use spiritual practice as a kind of crutch.
Yeah. Conditioning does. Conditioning does.
Yes.
And so, and we will...
Like, it should be okay because I'm doing spiritual practice and I should be able to handle it.
Yeah, right. Well, people want to do awareness practice so that nothing bad will ever happen to them. You know, I'll be really aware and then I'll never get in a car accident, or I'll be really aware and I'll know not to get on that plane because I'll know it's going to... No, at least not in my experience. I haven't gotten there yet. But what it does do is... what it can do is make us really present, help us to be really present to the moment we're in and grateful for it, deeply, deeply grateful. Mm-hmm. I mean, to really get it, that you're never going to be here again. Soon it's going to be over, and it's never going to happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just critical that we get that.
And it's, I think, because I do get those moments where, like, I am, you know, centered, and it's actually just all fine. And I just think the thoughts have a lot of ammunition, the voices have a lot of ammunition when it has what it seems to be proof.
Yeah.
You know, like, well, you know, but this is why it's not going to be easy, because all this has happened. And it's like, voices use what's happened as ammunition.
Yes.
And it's almost like almost overwhelming ammunition.
Right. However, if we stop for just a moment, you know, people will think that this kind of thing is negative. I think it's some of the most positive things we can do. You know, just look up, get on the internet and look up how many people will have starved to death today. How many children under the age of 5 will die from waterborne diseases? How many... Okay, how many homeless people are there? Your country, my country. Okay, how many, you know, let's just look at what's actually going on in the world rather than what's not working in my life. And I don't do that as a way of saying what a bad, selfish person I am not to be grateful. It's if I don't have any experience of how really rugged life can get, then all I have to compare it to is my life. And I didn't get what I wanted today. Well, you know, the world is full of every kind of living creature that as far as we can tell, just kind of never gets what it wants.
Yeah.
You know, I could be a pit bull tied by a chain out in somebody's backyard.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's negative. I just like to remind myself. And what it does for me immediately is put me into and I can walk down to the store and buy pretty much anything I want to eat. You know, I can go get in a car and go somewhere. I can put gas in it. You know, I mean, I have so much going for me. And is it perfect? Did I always get... No. No, I've had, you know, a lot of disappointments and, you know, damn, people die on me when I'm not ready for it. You know, it's all true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think there's supposedly a Jewish thing about it's kind of a slap in the face to God not to enjoy the gifts that we've been given. And I mean, I'm sure they have a more elegant way of saying it than that, but that's the gist of it. And I think about that a lot. You know, that so I offer that to you and an encouragement that if you know you can't be safe, if you know that, then the least you can do is enjoy it.
Yeah. Thanks. It's a good reminder.
It really is.
And it's always joyful to ring. So thank you.
Yeah. You know, I want to say one other thing, okay, before we hang up. These things that kind of haunt me, and it feels appropriate to our conversation. Dave and Alex, as you know, are in Zambia now, and so, you know, they're writing these huge, long emails back to us at the end of their very long days, telling us what's going on so that we can make decisions and, you know, keep the project moving forward and that sort of thing. And at the end of one of Dave's emails, he said a very, very sad thing happened in the compound today. A woman and her baby were struck by lightning and killed. And it has haunted me. You know, there you are. You know, there you are walking down the road, and it's storming. And how often are we, you know, and in the next second, lightning strikes and you're dead. And it's gosh, you know, if you could have 30 seconds after that lightning strike, I bet the thought would be, you know, the thoughts would be something along the lines of, gosh, I wish I'd gone ahead and, you know, bought that thing that I didn't let myself have because I was saving the money for, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
So,
well,
again if nothing else, be sure to choose kindness.
Yeah. Ultimately, yeah, for sure. And anyway, I hope to come back there maybe. I have to save now, so maybe a year I could do the next New Year's Eve retreat.
Good.
I'm hoping.
Good. Well, there's a place open and waiting for you.
Well, thanks a lot. And
thanks for calling. Take good care.
Yes.
Take a lot of risks.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Good day.
Thank you. See you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Holly. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Sherry, it's a couple minutes to the hour. We have a few callers here still, and I'm going to invite the ones who don't get on next to please call early next weekend. We will do our best.
Yeah, I get so long-winded, but I can't, you know, there's no sense in vowing to reform at this point. It's just, Are we going to have somebody else come on, or do you think we ought to just say next week?
Yeah, let's do one more if you're up for it.
Oh, yeah, always.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and could you please introduce yourself? Next caller, are you there?
Hello?
Oh, hello.
Hello, this is Jeffrey in New York City.
Jeffrey, how are you?
I am doing pretty terrible right now.
But I'm just doing really awful, thank you.
Yes, thank you for asking.
Well, give us a snapshot, okay? And then
absolutely.
Can you call next week?
Yes.
Good.
Very briefly, I'm in a yucky life situation myself, but my go-to thing is not usually anger. It's usually just profound sadness.
Mm.
And I was wondering if it's kind of the same deal. Should I physicalize it? Should I sit with it?
Yes.
Because I want to. Same thing.
Yes. Yeah. Because, you know, you will be, I'm making little quotes in the air, sitting with it most of the time. Because when emotion is that strong, there's very little escape from it.
Yeah.
So it'll be there, and it'll be drawing a lot of your attention. Now, one of the things that you, I may have said to you in the past, I don't know, but is that Ram Dass thing where you make an appointment with the sadness, you know, okay, between this time and this time, we're gonna talk about this. We're gonna go into it. We'll talk about the story and go over it and feel it and, you know, all of those kinds of things. And then during this period of time, we're not going to do that. We're going to turn our attention. Yeah, we're going to turn our attention to all the rest of the folks who are not having that experience. And there are, sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but there actually are other people inside you who are having different life experiences than that, or would like to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm having a little issue now trying to navigate the difference between taking care of the little part of me who really does want that time and getting caught in the story and getting scared and all the stuff that feeds conditioning.
Yes, yeah. And so that, of course, one of the most powerful tools we have for that is staying with the sensations without allowing the story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it, you know, that's where reassurances can be really powerful. So there's that little person, you can just put your arms around him and just tell him that you love him and that you're there and that you're going to take care of him and it's going to be okay. And he's fine, and you're really sorry that he's so sad, and, you know, I'm sorry that this has happened to you, and I'm here, and I'm going to take care of you. So, in other words, that he's feeling whatever he's feeling, but you're providing the words. Because if you don't provide the words, conditioned mind will step in and fill the gap.
Yes, I've noticed.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's powerful. And then, yes, absolutely, be physical. Keep the sensations moving. Don't let them get blocked up, backed up, because that's when they get really strong and that's when the voices match them, and then it's really hard to disidentify.
Yeah. Do you have a quick suggestion, like yoga or going for a walk or something?
All of that. All of that. Anything, any and everything that keeps your body moving, and bring conscious awareness to it. You know, feel it. Feel your feet on the earth or the floor. Feel the energy moving in your body. Feel it up through the top of your head, out through the tips of your fingers. Really feel it moving. Be aware of it moving, especially through the various chakras. And because you've been doing this for a while, notice where the energy tends to get stuck. Does it get stuck in your heart chakra? Does it get stuck in your second chakra, in the emotional center? Does it get stuck in your throat? And then next week, after you've seen where it primarily gets stuck, we can talk about some exercises to specifically keep that energy moving through that particular chakra. But just bringing conscious awareness to keeping the energy flowing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. It's good to hear your voice. Take care. Talk to you next week.
Okay. Deal.
Okay.
Bye.
All right. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Jeffrey. You've been listening to another expansive edition of Open Air with Sherry Huber. Thanks,
something
Sherry.
Something else we can add to the archives.
Yes, indeed. The long and growing list of archives.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Thank you, Sherry.
Good night.